The reading is from Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. And if you wish to follow this, you can find it on page 1139 of the Church Bibles. So, Romans 12, beginning at verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, good morning. I'm just going to move these out of the way in case I start reading you notices or something. Let's put this down there. For those of you I haven't met, I'm Annie. It's great to be with you this morning. We're going to be looking at that passage all about what it looks like to love one another. It's called love in this version of the Bible, often love in action, just really thinking about community. So I'm going to pray first and then we'll dig into it. Father, thank you for your love. God, thank you for community and thank you for everyone who is part of the Greyfriars and New Hope community and those who are visiting us today. God, I pray that you would speak to us about how much you love us and how to love each other well this morning. Amen. Right. So, when we read our Bibles and listen to sermons, we become really familiar with the stories about Jesus in the Gospels. But I wonder if we become so familiar that we don't always notice how tough his life really was. And I don't mean just the end. Obviously, the cross was tough, but for 3 years of his ministry before that. He didn't have a home. He travelled around the country on foot, not knowing where he'd sleep most nights. He was constantly criticised, even in his hometown. His cousin was brutally murdered. He lived with the knowledge that the authorities were always looking out for ways to trip him up and get him into trouble. As more people heard about him, he found it difficult to rest or get any peace. How did he get through all that? What was his secret? It was his community. Jesus had community with the Father and the Holy Spirit, but he also had a wider community that supported him in so many ways. We see multi-generational communities in action throughout Scripture over and over again, from the Israelites worshipping together to whole towns and villages flooding out to welcome and engage with Jesus. God made us for connection, for community. When he created Adam, he said it wasn't good for him to be alone, and he made him a helper, Eve. This wasn't just about love or reproduction. It was because we struggle when we're alone. Having a community around us makes us stronger, more flexible, more resilient. Multiple studies have found that social connection has massive benefits for our mental and physical health. I found this really fascinating reading, and these are just a few of the studies that I had a look at. So a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1984 found that among 2,320 men who'd survived a heart attack, those who had strong connections with other people had only a quarter the risk of death within the following 3 years as those who lacked social connectedness. So those who had good relationships actually were less likely to have another heart attack. Another report in 2010 looking at social relationships and health found evidence linking a low quantity or quality of social ties with a host of conditions, including worsening of heart diseases, autoimmune disorders, high blood pressure, and slowed wound healing. And other studies have shown that people who feel more connected to others have lower levels of anxiety and depression, as well as higher self-esteem, greater empathy for others, are more trusting and cooperative, and as a consequence, others are more trusting and cooperating with them. Those are all quite wordy, but just the studies showing that when we're able to be open, honest, and vulnerable in community, our health benefits, and we get to benefit from being part of a trusting and cooperative community as well. Being plugged into a supportive community is important, and Jesus knew that. He called his disciples to come and be community with him. They stuck with him, they supported him, and they did life together every day. But Jesus' community wasn't just his friends, just those 12 and the others slightly outside of that. It was so much wider. People opened their homes for him to come and stay. They fed him. They washed his feet. A man offered his tomb for Jesus' body. And crowds of people came out to welcome him when he arrived in their towns. Jesus had community with children and adults. He would have stayed with families, and we also know that he welcomed little children to him. So his community was hugely important to his ministry. Well, I find when I read that and I look at all the little links in community, I can't quite imagine what that would have been like if that hadn't happened. When God shaped the nation of Israel, he designed it so that the family unit wasn't alone. It was surrounded and supported by the clan or the extended family, which in turn sat within a wider tribe. Whatever your family looks like, God calls us to disciple one another at home, but also to be part of a wider tribe, a wider community. We've heard over the last few weeks how God is generous to us and how we can be joyful in our giving. So how can we also be generous in community? How can we be generous as part of this community? So Paul shares his advice in Romans 12, 19 to 21, that passage we just read. I read it in the Message version and I loved some of the words, so I'm going to read it out from the Message as well. So Romans 12, 9 to 21 from the Message. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, give him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. And I don't know about you, but when I read that passage, I think, wow, I want to be part of that community. A community where generosity will surprise people with goodness, where good friends love deeply, where you can be inventive in hospitality. So how do we become a community like that? What does that look like here at Greyfriars in New Hope? If you're a visitor here this morning, you might want to picture that as the church or the community that you're part of, or perhaps be thinking about what that might look like if you choose to become part of this community. Oh, I need my beautiful assistant to bring up my prop. I wanted to do something practical to have a look at what this is like. Sorry, I should have prepped you that it was coming. Thank you. It's probably easier seen there, isn't it? Thank you. So, we're all individuals, you see at the back, the brick of Duplo, individuals like this brick. God has made us all different and unique. We have different skills, different characters, different interests. But God made us for connection. He made us for community. This brick isn't designed just to sit on its own. It was designed to join other bricks. So just give me a moment, I'm going to put some bricks together. So it was designed to join other bricks. And like I said, we're all different. We have different gifts, different characters, different skills. But God made us to be together in community. Do you fancy building a wall whilst I'm talking? Just realize it might take longer than I thought it would. You want to build it there? Yeah. There we go. So he designed us to be together because when the bricks are together, they're stronger. They're working how they're designed to work. So what does that practically look like for us? I feel really... It needs to get up. Yeah.
It's just so much pressure.
Yeah, I know, sorry. I'm just going to not look at the wall until it's done. So what does that look like practically for us? I feel really privileged to be part of this community. I have good friends who love deeply, who I know because I'm part of this church. Only last week our washing machine broke and I was stuck with a mountain of washing, including quite a few days' worth of dirty nappies that I'd planned to wash like exactly the time that my washing machine broke. And I had friends leap at the opportunity to lend me their washing machines, even offering me the code to their key safes so that I could wash whilst they were out. For our family personally, we've had people look after our kids during various emergencies. We've had people take Pete to A&E on more than one occasion and collect him. And he says, I'm the clumsy one. I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to pick on you. And we've been blessed by receiving meals when our youngest was born. Sometimes, with this brick here, right in the middle, sometimes we're being supported by the wider community, surrounded and supported by others. Sometimes, with these ones here on the outside and around the edges, we're the ones supporting others, praying for them, giving generously, keeping ourselves refueled and aflame so that we can go deeper into community. And sometimes we're supporting the wider community. So this is our community here, but there are others outside that because we're part of this community, we can support. You can stop if you want to or carry on, I don't mind. Okay, thanks. Thank you. A few weeks ago, when it was the Reading Half Marathon, lots of our church congregation went out onto the street to clap and cheer. And I have to admit, I was a bit emotional watching it. I had this moment. I was watching a runner who was flagging as he came round the corner. He was really struggling. You know, his body was down low and just didn't look like he was going to make the rest of the race. And one person in the crowd spotted that on his shirt he said his name, Badger. And someone began chanting it. And then others joined in. And I watched this man visibly lift, a smile appear on his face, and he was able to carry on stronger. The crowd became community for that stranger. We as a community can become community for others who are outside, for strangers. So what's the cost? Sometimes being on your own is way easier, particularly if, like me, you naturally tend towards being an introvert. A few weeks ago, I'd planned a much-needed writing day away from home, having missed a few recently due to various things. I'm writing a book, so I need writing days to make sure I finish it in time. In the morning, I got a message from a friend whose husband was away for the weekend. She was alone with baby and toddler and had been up all night really unwell. Without hesitation, I went over, picked up her toddler so he'd come to us for the day. Pete had injured his knee on one of those many A&E visits, so he wasn't able to take all three of the kids for the day. So I worked from home so I could be available and interruptible. Suffice to say, I didn't get as much writing done as I'd hoped, or as I'd planned. Community costs. It takes sacrifice. Loving others doesn't always fit around what we've planned. But if we didn't surrender our own plans to God, then we'd miss out on the richness of relationship, of connecting with God together, of loving others deeply and connecting with other people in our community. Jesus was desperate for rest, but he stopped and spoke to people. He shared God's love with them first. Just wondering, just a second, that's not an alarm for me to stop talking. We are wired for relationship. We're built for community, created for community. Sometimes it's hard, but it's worth it because when we get stuck in, we experience more of God's goodness, his heart and his love. We see people within the community loved and supported, and we have a place that we get to invite other people into to know God more. It's the community that Paul describes in that passage. If you call Greyfriars and New Hope your home, then how can you become more a part of this community? Again, if you're a visitor, then how can you become more a part of the community or church you're part of? Or could you make Greyfriars and New Hope your home and join this community? Can you make sure that others don't feel isolated? Can you be praying for others, welcoming those who are new, or even those who aren't new but you've just not spoken to before? Often we feel quite embarrassed about asking whether someone's new or not, and so we end up not actually saying hello to them. Let's choose not to worry about that. Let's welcome them regardless. Instead of asking, "Are you new?" let's just say, "Hi, we've not had a chance to chat before." Let's just be open and welcoming to each other, regardless of how long we've been here. Could you create a WhatsApp group or an email group with others to support one another, perhaps those in your neighborhood or people who are in similar situations? What would it look like for you to take a step further into community? What are you going to do today to become more generous in community here at Greyfriars and New Hope? I was going to leave it there, but actually I'm just going to say one more thing. I'm aware when I was writing this that I was sharing all the things that are good about community, and I have talked about the cost, but if you're hearing this and thinking, "I really struggle to feel part of this community," or thinking, "I really don't know how to take a step into that," and then that's something that we could, that we would love to pray for. So do come and talk to me or come and chat to one of the prayer ministry team when we respond afterwards. But please don't leave this place feeling like you don't know how to be part of that community without taking a step in to come and pray or chat. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Annie. Shall we all stand together?